We've got another 10 minutes will be for questioning, and the other 10 minutes will be for answering. Then we don't know what we are going to do with the 15 minutes. So let's try to restrain ourselves in the 30 minutes. Otherwise, we've got 45 minutes. Over to you.
Hi. My name is Andrew Marcotte. We're from the Energy Research Center at the University of Cape Town. Just to introduce my colleagues, this is Stephen Davis, Eugene Sasaki, and AJ Trickham. I'm just going to quickly introduce the Energy Research Center. We've been doing research in energy since the 1970s. The ERC is a fusion of two different research centers. The one, the Energy Research Institute, that did mainly technical work. The other one, the Energy and Development Research Center, which was very involved in the drawing up the white paper and did a lot of work on energy and development. We have four research groups, the one on energy poverty and development, the second on energy efficiency, the third one on energy systems analysis and planning, and the fourth one on energy environment and climate change. We have a particular interest in energy data and energy modeling because we do a lot of work on energy planning and on energy analysis, and the data is a particular concern of ours. Some of the projects that we've been involved in on energy planning include the integrated energy plan, the recent long-term mitigation scenarios on climate change, and a lot of other projects going back to the 1970s. We also teach energy planning and energy modeling at the university. Okay. The presentation consists of two parts. The first part are just overall comments on the bill, and the second part is much more focused on specific clauses that we have specific suggestions about. So generally speaking, we think that this bill is a great step forward, that the National Energy Modeling and Information Agency is clearly something which is needed in South Africa and has been for a long time, and that this should be welcomed. The other part of the bill which we're very excited about is the commitment to publish energy data assumptions and modeling results, and we think that that will strengthen the debate on energy policy in South Africa and make it considerably more sophisticated and improve the outcomes for energy planning and policy. One of the reservations we have about the bill is that in recent years, the scope of energy issues has widened considerably, and it's important that the institutions that the bill includes in energy planning and energy modeling and that have access to these resources don't only do this for the DME's energy planning requirements, but also of other government departments, for instance, DEET, and also for other levels of government, for instance, provinces and metros. And there are a lot of metros which are now taking an interest in energy planning, and we think that it would be very productive to actually widen the mandate of the two institutions in the bill to actually provide services to those institutions as well. We feel that the bill is too supply-focused and underplays the importance of demand-side considerations. And demand is one of the most important focuses globally of, for instance, climate change policy at the moment. There's enormous potential in South Africa for energy efficiency at all levels. And we feel that a demand-focused approach would be more productive than the current supply-focused approach. The other major concern we have is that it's not clear how the institutions in the bill are going to relate to processes going on in other departments, particularly for things like climate change at a national and international level, unless they're more carefully defined. So, for instance, how the DME relates to other initiatives going on in DEET, going on in transport, in the DPI, and so on and so forth, and how these fit together. And we feel that it would be productive to try and define this more clearly in the film. We also have some doubts about what the reason is for moving Cineri into Cineri. We feel that Cineri is functioning well as it is, and we just wonder whether the department would reconsider, or whether the committee would consider discussing why, how Cineri fits into Cineri, and what the implications of that are. Just to go on now to more specific comments. This is a fairly technical comment. We'd suggest the term generation be replaced with transformation, since generation is only used in relation to electricity. This is in the introductory paragraph. We have a similar suggestion for holding of strategic energy modules. We'd suggest it's replaced with holding of strategic stocks of energy carriers. This is quite an important suggestion. We're querying the use of the term integrated energy master plan. I think the term integrated energy plan is more widely used. It's just a case of terminology, but it seems sensible to adopt internationally recognized terminology. We have an issue with clause 3.3, which specifies the conditions under which the minister will order that information collected by NEMA or the modeling results are made public. And we feel that one of the major benefits of setting up an organization like this is to provide as much information into the public domain as possible. And so we would suggest that this clause be rephrased so that only under very specific conditions will information not be put in the public domain. And so the behest actually moves to information providers to prove why the information will be problematic to be put into the public domain, and that relates specifically to the commercial interests. And we would suggest that under all other circumstances that information automatically be provided by NEMIA to whoever wants it. And at the moment, I think that unless this is clearly stated, we'll end up perpetuating the culture of secrecy which we inherited from apartheid in the energy sector. Again, this is the issue of supply and demand. We would suggest that this be rephrased as access to affordable and safe energy services by households rather than energy, because this would include a much broader range of interventions, such as ceiling insulation, various other non-energy interventions that could improve the energy profile of households and improve the health and welfare of their inhabitants. We also think it would be very important for the minister to be obliged to establish a functioning government which collects data on households relevant to this. In other words, on levels of service provision. At the moment, Stats SA collects data on electrification, but we feel it would be very relevant in terms of service delivery to collect more detailed information on household energy provision, because it is a major plank in the general welfare of the population and in poverty alleviation. Our main motivation in raising these questions is in terms of negotiating the responsibilities of different agencies in government, particularly around international climate change agreements. And we think it would be prudent to specify exactly who is responsible, whether the lead negotiators are responsible for this, or whether the DME is responsible for actually making international agreements about what our commitments will be in terms of emissions reductions in the energy sector. The point about these two sections is fairly similar. This is about making policy for greenhouse gas mitigation, and the points are very similar. We would think that it would be prudent to actually specify more precisely exactly how the division of responsibility works in terms of that. This is probably our most important objection to a part of the bill. What Clause 11 says is that NMEA should only consider, when it's doing its modelling, it should only consider published government policies, and we regard that as far too restrictive. Part of the point of doing energy modelling and using scenarios is to actually explore the implications of different policies. So we think that 11.1 will actually prevent the agency from fulfilling its functions as contemplated in Clause 8, and that it's very important to actually think very carefully about exactly what the mandate of the agency is. And for example, there may well be policies which are highly successful in other countries, which are not government policy here. And this clause would actually prevent the agency from considering those. So we think it's very important to reconsider that. These are some other sections of Chapter 3, subclause 11, which we think should be rethought. Subclause 11B, talks about not pursuing private agendas, which we think is meaningless without a legal definition of private agendas. It's a laudable aim, but whether it belongs in legislation or whether it can actually be enforced in any meaningful way is doubtful. Subclause 11.1c talks about modelers only modeling proven or near-proven technologies. And from a legal point of view, the term near-proven is fairly meaningless. And this should either be redrafted or we should reconsider what the scope of this is. Also, under certain circumstances, it would be quite useful to model technologies which are not necessarily proven, such as the pebble bed modular reactor, various other renewables technologies. And this is an important and internationally recognized part of doing modeling and of building scenarios. And so we feel that this clause is inappropriate. This 11.1d, we think that this is irrelevant because no one who is competent and an energy modeler would model scenarios that were not bound by reality. So that can probably just be struck out. Clause 11.3, we also thought that was, we were questioning what the point of that was. We would assume that what NMEA would publish would consist of its analysis and not express views of other bodies. So whether that clause is actually necessary or not is something that the committee can consider. Chapter 4, Clause 16. We feel that it's an extremely good principle that regular updated energy plans should be published and made public. But we feel also that a timeline should be added to this. That given the urgency of the current situation and given the fact that South Africa faces several quite critical energy policy challenges, we feel that this should commence as rapidly as possible. So we would suggest adding the phrase commencing with 6 months of the passing into law of this legislation so that this process actually gets off the ground as quickly as possible and that government has an integrated energy planning set of scenarios to actually make critical decisions as soon as they can. Again, clause 16.2, this is just the issue about supply-demand emphasis. We feel that you should add demand for energy services there, since the plan should consider non-energy ways of providing energy services, like improving the performance of buildings, and so on and so forth. 16.3d, the phrase correct technology is technically incorrect. You can't. It's very difficult. Technology is not a normative phenomenon. So we would suggest that that be replaced with something like optimal technology, given existing policy objectives of government for the energy system, or some similar phrase which simply embraces the idea that we want to choose the most appropriate technology available. This is just a technical objection. 16.5, the bill specifies that the Integrated Energy Master Plan must have a planning horizon of 25 years. We think this is unduly restrictive. For instance, why 25? Why not 20? Why not 30 or 50? For different purposes, it's useful to have different horizons for different types of questions. And so one would want quite a lot of flexibility on that. And if you change your mind, you would want to be able to do so, or to produce different studies with different time points. So we think that this is unduly restrictive, and that it should be left to the judgment of either the DME, the minister, or NEMEA itself. We think that the composition of the board is too narrow, that there should be broader representation from national government, perhaps. There should be broader representation from the energy sector, not only supply industries, if possible, and there should perhaps be civil society representation on the board as well. This is Sunetti. Just a question about Clause 27. Does the REFSA replace the one that exists within the DME? We weren't clear about that. Also, it's not clear that the tradable renewable certificate system is the preferred option at the moment, and NERSA appears to be pursuing another option. So we're just wondering what the point is of mentioning that at the moment in Clause 27. This is, again, back on the question of Sunetti and research. We thought that it's unclear in the bill what the relationship is between NEMEA and the R&D division of Sunetti in terms of things like energy modeling. Why establish two new institutions? How would areas of overlap between them be managed? And it's just really a question of clarifying the role of research within Sunetti. How much money would it get? Would its functions be identical to Sunetti at the moment? So on and so forth. Final comments? Yeah. Okay. We think that a 5 million rand fine for not providing information is way too low. We think that for large companies, particularly multinational oil companies and others in the energy sector, this is not a deterrent, and that they could afford to basically pay that every year if necessary, if it was in their interests. What we would suggest instead of that is that the whoever the responsible authority is be empowered to impose a percentage of a company's turnover in the same way that the competition tribunal does, and that this would be a much better incentive to compliance. Great. Any questions?
As you were making the presentation, I was feeling that the department did you bring the legal team? Not the department. The state law advisors are not from the department, isn't it? They're from the state. Because many of the questions asked here have a lot of legal implications. So if you've got your team here, then your team can assist in. Because the state law advisors would not fundamentally change the content, but the department, because it's informed by policy, it will be in a position to know whether it's reasonable to change this clause and that clause in terms of whether it's restrictive or prescriptive. and the department is in a position to adjust. So I would suggest that we proceed, maybe tomorrow and Tuesday you should have that team. Chief.
Chief, I said we do the drafting. So,
we do the drafting?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I also know how to do the drafting, so as long as you know it's fine. So the presentation, okay, when you press it off. I'm sure that members are ready for interaction with the university, the research group. Who should I start with between the... I must start this way, then I must end up with the... I'll start with simple questions and end up with the difficult questions. that comrade, that only comrade yourself, then Smith, then the chair. That's it.
Thank you, Chair. It's a very good presentation, and it helps a lot when it comes to when we have to start deliberating next week on it. I mean, it helps you a lot to understand some of these issues. But there's only one thing, and it comes to this 5 million rand fine. You know, the compensation, what is it, port or what they call, easily give Pioneer 90 million rand of fine. It's fine. But by the end of the day, the poorest of the poor still pay for it. Because they just put this 90 million rand into the bread price. And there's the same going to be happen here, going to put it into the petrol price, but going to put it in the... From your side, you have maybe, even you said that, a percentage of the company's turnover, but are you not having maybe a other solution to resolve this problem? Maybe take the license away or something like that? Thank you, Chair.
That's me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Only two issues. The one is the Fire Act. If one were to turn the onus around, basically, to ensure that there's public availability of all information presented to the department, wouldn't that have a negative impact on the willingness of companies to render the information to the public via the department, some of which might be seen as relating to competition with their colleagues or similar companies, which might then of course lead to a reduction in the worth of the information rendered to the department. It's an issue which might be relevant. I'm not sure whether that would address the issue. Then secondly, in clause 14, I don't know whether you have any comment as to clause 14B, the funding of the National Energy Modeling and Information Agency. They make mention of levies imposed by under separate legislation. What kind of levies, do you have any opinion as to what the kind of levies there to be imposed and the kind of levies you would consider to be relevant? Thank you.
Can we have Chair?
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I wonder how many, but I think I should take this opportunity to introduce you to Dr. McQuaid. He used to be our researcher in minerals and energy. I think Mrs. Smith was the one, you will remember him. So welcome back, although in a different situation now, but we think that you will have to help the committee still, although we will not pay you now because you have got payers, people who pay you. We can negotiate that. But nevertheless, I think it's very useful. The input was very useful insofar as you have raised some of the concerns. But I just want to have, I just want to, you have raised the meaning, I mean the significance of Saneri put, I mean, what did you say? Why would Saneri be taken into Saneri or something like that? Now, well, I do not know, but myself I would understand that the logic probably, but I just want to find out if that doesn't make logic from your part. That Saneri is supposed to be a research kind of an entity dealing with matters of energy at large, including modeling, whatever. Which would be some kind of a division within Saneri, because Saneri is not only research, but it is also for development. I do not see any conflicting roles of that, as long as they are not separate entities. As long as Saneri is a research division of Saneri. Saneri a bigger part, looking into all kinds of things. But I don't know if we probably have some reservations even in that kind of arrangement. Because as far as I know, Saneri until now, it was falling under CEF. And CEF is not a research entity. It is, in fact, that's why it's been redundant until now. It's long been established. It was first established as NERI. It became Saneri, but it has not done anything meaningful in energy research. Because it has been sitting in an entity which is totally not designed for that. So I think now, with the department having this legislation saying we will need to have a development institute, or I mean a development energy institute of this kind, with a particular capability of research focus in the form of an area, I think it makes some good meaningful approach. Right. The next question, some stakeholders have raised a question about this 25 and why 20, why 40, why 25. Again, I argue, you see, if you deal with things of energy development, you need to have a plan, a concrete plan. A very long-term plan, such as 15-year plan or 20-year plan, You must target some period where your energies are going to be focused on doing exactly that, but not fixing the pragmatism of the times. So we have got to be flexible, and in fact, this is how governments work. If you understand. You know, governments have got 5-year terms in office. So they've got what we call corporate plans, which is for 5 years. Under corporate plans, they have got strategic plans, which are 3-year plans, governed by the cycle. And under these cycles, these MTF, they've got also 1-year plans, which are recycling everything so that, you know, each year everything should move together right up to the end of that 5-year period of the term of office of government. And that is how government functions feasibly, because you have to fix a plan and then start to recycle those plans in such a way that they are pragmatic according to the development of times and technologies and pressures from society. So I think there's nothing wrong myself with a 25-year plan planned in a versatile fashion that it is able to ventilate itself during the time, right up to the end of its plan. Thank you.
Yes. I think you see some of the questions. Well, I don't think you need to stretch yourself so much, because you see, this is a young academic, so they're asking very academic questions. See, because in our political education, you see the ANC, there is a question, why was Mkhonto weSizwe formed in 1961 and not in 1936 or 1913. Those questions are asked, but in the evolution of the ANC history, we are able to answer the questions. But there will be young academics joining our ranks and say, you see, you took long, man, to form that thing. You should have formed it in 1913 when the Land Act was introduced. So I'm saying everything has a scientific explanation because it evolved over a period of time. So I just want to say that you can answer the questions that's asked by members of parliament. Mr. Matlava, did you want to follow up?
No.
Oh, you're fine. Okay. Over to you, Mr. Marquardt. No, Dr. Marquardt. Oh, by the way, academics get offended if you don't say doctor.
Thank you. The first question on the 5 million rand fine issue and whether companies will simply pass these costs on to consumers. This is a problem and this is an issue with competition legislation at the moment. In the energy sector, almost all of it is regulated, so their ability to pass on is limited, although obviously they would probably be ingenious in finding other ways of doing that. Other options, such as withdrawing licenses, may be significant, may have a significant impact in some instances. In other instances, such as electricity, I think the regulator really doesn't have a choice when it comes to a large entity like Eskom. It would be very difficult to withdraw Eskom's license and probably irresponsible. I'm not sure what other solutions there would be. If you look at a choice between a large fine and non-compliance, I suppose policymakers would simply have to choose which of those options they preferred. I presume that, I mean, given the fact that there isn't actually a lot of harm that comes to large companies from passing with data, in the sense that it doesn't involve an immediate economic loss, presumably a large fine would simply disincentivize them from not providing information. But this is something that could be looked into in more detail. The second question about the PIA Act and whether we turn the onus around. I think that in the case of energy data, first of all, if it is commercially sensitive, then our suggestion would accommodate this. Particular providers could appeal. It could be aggregated for industries. There's a number of different ways in which commercial competitiveness could be protected. I don't think that it contravenes the existing regime. I think it would be in the public interest to turn it around. Given that it would be a mandatory requirement for them to provide information, I don't think it would deter them from doing so because they would be obliged to. So I think it would be in the public interest to strengthen that clause. The question about clause 14B, about levies imposed, there's a history of this in the during the apartheid era in 1988, the government set up something called the National Energy Council, which did impose a levy, and they did do it for research and to get money for research and for planning. It was imposed equally on all energy carriers, so it was a percentage of electricity, a percentage of liquid fuels costs, and so on and so forth. I think that would be a very successful way of doing this, although there's an issue around dedicated levies with Treasury. I believe the current policy is not to have dedicated levies, so it would have to be negotiated with Treasury. Questions about why Sineri is being placed in Sineri, I think the Chair's reasoning for this is sound. The only reservations that we would have about it are... First of all, I think we agree that it should be moved out of CEF. I think that's a good idea. There's no reason why it should be in CEF in particular, except that CEF exists. The concerns that we have are, first of all, to do with funding. We think that the amount of funding at the moment, Scenarios funding comes from DST, and it's funded in terms of science and technology policy rather than in terms of energy. We think it's very important to maintain the same level of funding. So if the same level of funding for energy research can be guaranteed within SENEDI, then that should meet one of our objections. I think the other... Yeah. I don't know whether... Do any of you have anything to add about the SENEDI issue?
Yeah.
Do you want to... Sorry, one of my colleagues has something else to add on that issue.
Thank you. I think the other point is that we see the energy efficiency division and the renewable energy division as implementers and not specifically doing research. So there was a bit of a disconnect in that in the way, in the development thinking. So as a development agency, it would be implementing energy efficiency and renewable energy, but research is a completely other aspect, and we're not sure whether it does belong under the same umbrella or it should exist as an organization on its own, whether it's part of CEF or not. That is some of the thinking behind that.
Just one other point about Scenario. I think that we would disagree with you about the effectiveness of Scenario. I think that Scenario, first of all, has only been established for a very short time. And secondly, I think it has been very important in funding energy research and setting up chairs in tertiary institutions, for instance, and building capacity in energy. And I think that's something that it has done very successfully so far. So our main concern is that the successes that it has had aren't disrupted by this institutional shift. So if those things can be protected and guaranteed, then that should be fine. The question about the 25 years, our real objection to the 25 years is not to the figure 25 per se or an objection to having a defined period for planning integrated energy plans, but simply to putting it in legislation. We just think there should be a flexibility around that, and that this can be defined much better by the minister or by... So we feel that putting it in a piece of legislation is inappropriate, and that there's the flexibility that, you know, there should be flexibility in defining that period. Thanks.
Yes, Sunil is dying. Are you dying to talk, Chief? Or you'll wait for your turn?
I'll wait, Chief. Thank you.
Okay. Because Sunil is here, and you are talking a lot of awful things around Sunil. Sunil is here. So, Chair, can you be careful?
No, I was not talking down as Saneri. Simply, I was saying that to me, Saneri is a very important entity, but for its placement under CF, which there's nothing to do with research, I think it was misplaced. In fact, I was not saying that from no information. It's because I've done some research discussing with various people. I was actually assigned by Parliament to do that, to find out some of these energy institutes or institutions, what they are doing and why they are there, what they are doing. In fact, one of the founders, one of the founders of the concept of Saneri, when we discussed with him, he also felt that it was very mislocated, and he gave us reasons which I think are not for this audience, why it went there and why he thinks it's wrong that it went there. So that is what I was simply highlighting. And another question I wanted to also respond to is that Saneri, according to him, was not supposed to be just concerned with only renewable energies. It was supposed to be a government, because what you have as a research institute, energy research, is for the university. CSIR has got also a very small entity of, used to, I don't know, I think it doesn't even have now, an energy research. So Saneri, in his concept, was supposed to really just focus on energy research throughout. throughout South Africa, not necessarily serving the department or the CSIR or any particular department, but it was supposed to be a very generalized energy research institute that is focused on matters of energy, of any nature, from nuclear to renewable, which we're going to be fitting into government about what should be done. So that is why I'm not talking from nowhere. I'm talking from knowing why I have a question about SANERA. I'm not questioning its existence or its feasibility, but I'm simply saying that this is a good development to me if they take SANERA out of CEF and they put it under an institution which is going to be developed under this legislation, and it becomes an engine of modeling and all other such exercises. That's what I'm saying. I happen to be a researcher myself, so I know, I think I understand what I'm talking about.
Any other questions? I don't want to add anything because I am not a scientist and I am getting educated as I listen to people making these inputs. And what we are going to do as the committee will make a determination, but the engagements are very helpful and fruitful. Without much ado, I just want to thank you. Thank the team for doing a good job. Some of the issues we are lacking on, the chairperson has alluded. We've got a resource here, and I'm sure that we are welcome at the University of Cape Town. Thank you very much. May we now have a Chamber of Mines. Is that your computer? It is, eh? Okay.
Chairperson, honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, may I start by saying that we appreciate this opportunity to comment on a very, very important piece of legislation. For us in the mining industry, it's absolutely of critical importance. My name is Dick Kruger. I'm an assistant advisor at the Chamber of Mines, and I'm assisted by Christian Tefu here on my right. Chairman, just to say where we come from, the Chamber of Mines is a voluntary membership mining industry advocacy organization. This is what I'm doing here, advocacy on behalf of my principals, and we have been at it for 119 years, and I think that's quite an achievement in South Africa. The mining industry is quite an important contributor to the economy. If we can go to slide number 4 and just open it there, please. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, that's fine. If you just bring it here. Where is the cursor? Just put it on the screen. Is that lower left hand corner? Yeah.
Drag it.
Okay.
No.
Just stick on full screen there for me. Down below. Right. Chairman, if we just add that, then just go back. Okay. The mining industry, just to say where we stand at the moment. we contribute about 6.2% directly of GDP. That's directly. If one look at the knock-ons and the follow-ons, it's around about 28% according to our economists. We still employ some 440,000 or almost 450,000 staff. Sales amount to 145 billion rand per annum. Exports, 104 billion rand per annum. Why are we interested in energy? We are a significant consumer of energy. Firstly, we consume about 15% of the electricity sold in South Africa. We use 8.8% of the diesel fuels sold in South Africa. But then we're also a supplier. That puts us in a unique position. Last year, the mining industry produced about 125 million ton of coal for Eskom alone, and probably another 3-4 million ton for the various municipal power stations. And then the mining industry also produced about 45 million ton per annum for Sasol for synfuel production. The mining industry is very sensitive to energy and energy efficiency. The Chamber and its large members all signed the Energy Efficiency Accord in 2005 on a voluntary basis. And in terms of that, we are pursuing a voluntary energy reduction in the mining industry by 15% of projected use by 2015. So far, in the 2006-2007 year, the mines saved collectively 125 megawatt of energy, mostly on the electricity side. During the last financial year, 61 megawatt, and currently there is about 135 megawatts worth of projects in progress. So I think this just illustrates that we are deadly serious about this matter. We welcome the National Energy Bill. For so long, we have introduced energy efficiency measures on a voluntary basis. Even the power cuts that the mines and other large industries are undertaking at the moment is on a voluntary basis. There is no law to compel us, but we see the national importance. We see the Energy Bill as assisting in this regard. Firstly, it creates a framework for the implementation of the 1998 white paper positions. And secondly, it creates a statutory basis for energy efficiency and for energy savings in the way that it empowers the minister to set targets and compel people to stick to the targets. The first major issue, and I'm not going to waste time, I'm only going to address 4 or 5 major issues, deals with stakeholder input. It's noted with concern that the bill makes no provision for stakeholder and especially private sector input into energy policy formation or energy planning. The draft bill that was first sent around in 2004 envisaged a National Energy Advisory Committee to advise the minister on energy policy. And this was in line with the white paper position that stated that stakeholders will be consulted in the formulation and implementation of new energy policies in order to ensure that these policies are sympathetic to the needs of a wider range of stakeholder communities. We accordingly strongly recommend that provision be included in the bill, before it becomes a law, of course, for the establishment of a stakeholder advisory body as envisaged in the draft bill of 2004. The point is just that energy policy and energy plans made without stakeholder input will be flawed. Okay. The second point is Chapter 4, it's integrated energy planning. The concept of integrated energy planning is supported. We need it. It's absolutely essential for the country, and we are lagging. For that reason, we support the assignment of the responsibility to develop integrated energy plans to the Minister of Minerals and Energy. But there seems to be something missing. Although the Energy White Paper requires government to facilitate the provision of the necessary resources to establish integrated energy planning structures and systems, the bill is silent on such structures. We presume that the capacity will be provided in the BME to undertake the integrated energy planning exercise, but it's nevertheless recommended that the bill provides explicitly for such capacity. The energy sector in South Africa is extremely complex. We have electricity provided by parastatal enterprises and local government, to a very limited extent by the private sector. In contrast, the dominant energy resource, namely coal, is produced exclusively by the private sector. Liquid fuel is produced mainly by the private sector as well as by one parastatal enterprise. The marketing of the liquid fuel is, however, exclusively a private sector activity. An integrated energy plan will need to consider the requirements of all these diverse stakeholders. And we cannot see how that can be done without the input. And it's accordingly recommended that the National Energy Bill include explicit provisions to ensure that all stakeholder groupings are consulted in the compilation of an integrated energy plan. And then another last thing on this is, given the preponderance of primary industry in South Africa, security of energy supply is a major concern. The bill, however, only requires the integrated master plan to deal with issues related to the supply of energy in a way that accounts for a balanced consideration of security of supply. We would like to recommend that that be rephrased to say, ensure the security of energy supply. On the National Energy Development Institute, we welcome the establishment of this body. It will bring together research, the promotion of renewable energy, the promotion of energy efficiency, which are complementary activities under one umbrella. And as the member said, SEF was not the place for research. So we welcome that. There's only one concern. Given that coal is the major energy resource in South Africa, and is likely to remain that for the next 4 or 5 decades, it is recommended that the board include a representative from the coal mining industry, or maybe we should say from the coal industry. The industry is not only mining, it's other aspects too. When we come to the National Energy Modeling and Information Agency, we recognize the need for the acquisition of energy information and the modeling of supply and demand and all the analysis that are necessary. We are ever of the view that this should preferably be a function of the Department of Minerals and Energy instead of creating yet another body for this purpose. We can't really see why. We've had discussions with departmental officials and we're still a bit unclear. If there is, however, a critical reason to keep this function separate from the department, it is recommended that it be established as another division under the South African National Energy Development Institute. And in fact, it will complement the activities of the other three bodies that are already placed there. We also noted for concern that the bill in Section 14 provides for levies also to fund this Energy Modeling and Information Agency. This was considered a long time ago for energy institutions. The 98 white paper position was that government could consider the use of special purpose levies earmarked on the budget to fund regulatory and other agencies, provided that the additional costs were borne by those benefiting from the activities of the relevant agency. In this case, the whole of South Africa will benefit from the acquisition and analysis of information and the modeling. And accordingly, it makes no sense for a levy. It's recommended that it be funded from the fiscus. There is, however, another point. The white paper also stated that government will provide information to the public at a reasonable price. And while the bill requires this agency to make available in the manner prescribed energy statistics and energy information, it is silent on the sale of such information. So if additional income is required, it's recommended that provision be made in the bill for the sale of energy information as a source of funding for this function. That's if required. Then, Chairman, finally, the energy efficiency and renewable energy. In Clause 27, the Minister is required to only consult with the envisaged National Energy Modeling Agency when setting targets for the use of renewable energy. Clause 29 empowers the minister to prescribe individual minimum levels of energy efficiency for particular sectors of the economy in consultation with the SA Bureau of Standards. Given the impact of such targets and minimum levels on the industrial sectors concerned and even the domestic sectors, we do not believe it's something that can be done only with the limited consultation envisaged here. And we would like to recommend that the bill be amended to provide for consultation in both cases with the individual industry sectors or other sectors before setting the targets or minimum levels. So I thank you for your attention. Thank you.
It's sweet and short from the Chamber of Mines. I'm sure that the Chamber of Mines agree in total with most of the recommendations of the bill, except modifications here and there, which the committee will determine. Any other question? Any questions? Smith, Masawa? Oh, you are intimidated by Smith. Okay, Smith, go on, and after that it's yourself.
Maybe it's my turn to keep quiet, Mr. Chair.
No, don't have to.
I've only one issue, and that is you are very, you come out very strong on the basis of consultation. On page 19 of the book, paragraph clause 35.2, says that before promulgating regulations, the minister must invite public comments on such regulations. It's clearly not enough for you. You seem to indicate that there should be stakeholder participation before even the proclamations are made available to the public. Is that your point? Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Now, they've raised another question which has been raised by some stakeholders and including myself about the need for many institutions that are seem to be related. You see, there is now SANEDI, there is SANERI, and there is NIMIA. How do you see this institution related to yourself? How do you see, I'm sure here now when we were trying to clarify this question of SANEDI and SANERI, how it's supposed to be, how do you see, according to your own perspective, how do you see the interaction between SANEDI, SANERI, and NEMIA. NERSA. NERSA also was once even put here because they also cried about, you were still not here, but they also said that there are many other things, functions that they think are being taken away or they are going to conflict with their functions. So how do you see these institutions harmonized into really playing a role in this important security bill, energy security bill?
No any other question, no follow-ups can answer.
Thank you, Chair. On the first question, the clause in the bill that Honourable Mr. Schmidt refers to requires the Minister to publish draft regulations for comment. That is merely comment on the regulations. Consultation is a more involved process. It involves talking to each other and coming to some sort of an agreement. I do not believe that clause, and I am aware of it, will really solve the concerns that we have. If one look at the, if I can use the example of the Energy Efficiency Accord, as it stands, it is the result of something that was put out in a very early draft form by the DME, and it took almost more than two months of consultation between industry and the department to come to the form where everybody was happy with it and where the levels that was set in it were agreed on. And it is such a complex issue that you cannot merely cover it by commenting on regulations. The second question on the interrelationships in the South African National Energy Development Institute, and please, this is my personal view, we have not really discussed it very much in depth in the chamber, but the two executive functions, if one can call it, is the promotion of energy efficiency by the one body and the promotion of renewable energy. Those are fields where you are moving into new directions all the time. So to my mind, energy research or the capacity for energy research will underpin those two functions and complement them. And in a similar vein, I believe that if it has to be, the inclusion of the Energy Modeling Agency, also under SANERI, will also complement it, because to promote, you must know what's going to happen, or what is likely to happen, and that is what modeling gives you. So if those four institutions are placed together under the one umbrella, I think the synergies, I think they could be very good. As for, you mentioned NERSA, sir. Currently, we have NERSA preparing an energy demand forecast, or electricity mostly, they call it the National Integrated Resource Plan. We have Department of Environment Affairs doing the long-term mitigation strategies, which is very, very much an energy plan. We have the DME working on, the work was suspended for a bit, but on an integrated energy plan. We have Eskom with their own electricity strategic integrated plan. We have four plans, and they don't really talk to each other. What I have seen is that some people are involved in all of them, but they don't talk to each other, and they sometimes go not quite in the same direction. So maybe, and I hesitate to say this because I have no mandate, but one should look at energy planning also under a body where things get together. Thank you, sir. I've already said too much.
Yes. So your recommendation is that issues around conservation should be part of the legislation, or they should be part of regulations, or we should have an overriding principle which says that it's important to, before, you know, coming up anything which is fundamental, consult with stakeholders. Maybe that can be worked out. I don't think it's controversial. There is an issue I wanted to raise around the advisory bodies. You still feel strong that there should be an advisory body which should be embodied in this legislation. You see, personally, I've got experiences around the DOD with advisory bodies. Like, you've got your advisory body for equal opportunity in affirmative action, and you've got an advisory body for education in the Defense Force, and there you can sit four times per annum advising the minister, and that becomes a public relations exercise. It becomes futile exercise, precisely because the minister is not obliged to also take your advice, but in terms of your time, your resources, you sit in a meeting, and from there, there should be budget. So it took us more than 10 years to get one budget, approved for those advisory bodies to sit. So for me, in as much as the idea may be a nice idea, but we've got living experiences wherein you find that whatever effort you take, that effort is not taken in too much consideration. Chair.
Yeah, thanks. Now, I just want to make a clarification, but this is also, I think, should be an appeal to the department itself. You see, that's why I said, what is our focus? Because here we are sharing ideas to either develop this bill towards an efficient, useful bill for our society. That's why I said, what is your idea? Because you mentioned very important things about all these master security energy plans in various entities. We did cover them in the morning if we're here. That we also did have some similar concerns somewhere, somehow. And indeed, if these things are not coordinated, then they lead to first a lot of unnecessary budgeting, a lot of conflicts of authority and functions and responsibilities. Now, but the error that I have picked up, as far as I understand the concept of Saneri, which we discussed, is that Saneri was not supposed, in its initial formation, was not supposed to only deal with renewable energy. You see, if you say it is to do with renewable energy, then probably your analysis may be correct. That probably, I mean, your imagination of how this issue should work may be correct. But if Saneri was meant to, what I understand from the people who initiated it, it was meant to do anything national research on energy for the government. And it was supposed to be placed under the Department of Science and Technology. Then the concept then changes altogether. Now, with the Saneri, having now also a function that is foreseen under this act, that this bill that is being developed, I think myself, I do not know, but from all of you, I also understand a very important thing about the chair is saying, I do not see the usefulness of the role of the board, of the advisor board, but I see a very important role for a representative, like you mentioned, because coal is going to be here for a long time, and it is central to this bill in terms of energy security and the baseline, the energy supply. So I think your initial point is very valid about having either, depending on negotiation between you and the department, either you have a person who in the board, in the board of this institute, whichever at the end becomes, whether NIMIA or SANED or whatever, or the conglomeration of all. But if you have a person who represents the mind, or rather the Chamber of Minds, if it represents all minds, because they not only call but other minds also have interest, somebody representing the Chamber of Mines, therefore, it may necessarily coming from coal because of the coal effect, but representing the early mines. I think that's a very important concept that I can myself sit with. But then, the question of these institutions, I think the department has got to think very hard about how to coordinate these various institutions and their role in terms of making effective utilization of this energy bill. I think that is what we are supposed to do, all of us here. Thanks.
Chairman, may I just clarify one point? While I did say that the Energy Research Division was very important to underpin the renewables and energy efficiency, I did not intend that it would be limited to that only. Indeed, it should go a lot wider, but it's still the research capacity is very important to underpin those two functions. Thank you.
Yeah, also it's clear that the department has to work very hard in trying to make sure that there is harmonization and synchronization as far as all the institutions are concerned, which has to either deal with research or with development and making sure that the center holds, because the concern is that everybody must be brought on board such that we understand exactly what this bodies and institutions do. As far as the National Energy Bill is concerned. So I'm sure that our job is made more easier because of the advices and the contributions which came from the Chamber of Commerce shows that the Chamber of Commerce is a welfare organization which has been Chamber of Mines. What did I say? Oh, Chamber of Mines. Is there a difference? So the Chamber of Mines has been there doing so many things in what, 19 years? 119 years, yes. So the experience is a very wonderful experience. So I just want to thank you. I'm sure that the department, because the department is here, is listening, and the members of parliament are listening, and they will make sure that we don't lose some of the brilliant ideas you raised. May we now have, we are supposed to have a break. Is there tea ready, Chief? Yes. It means we are doing well in as far as time is concerned. So we can, before calling Petro South Africa and Sineri, we are waiting with Moita. Is your tea ready?
Yeah,
but we can start with that. I'm advised by by the chairperson here that we can give Sineri 10 minutes quickly. So as before we go to tea, we can deal with some of the issues. And I suspect that the 10 minutes will be 30 minutes.
Priorities. Also, CF has access to finance, it has a very good credit rating, but also more importantly, it has access to equity, which it holds either of its own or on behalf of the state. And this can help us to commercialize products. And that's the key thing that's missing in most statutory bodies that sit on their own. They don't have access to the necessary resources outside of their own funding to be able to take products into the marketplaces. This is a unique strength that South Africa has in the form of CEF. So we support human capital development firstly at our tertiary institutions to help build up that capacity, but also we support project development, which we'll talk about later. We also help to coordinate the membership of South Africa to various international bodies, and those are listed there at the bottom. Now, if you look at where we fit in, of course, we are a wholly owned subsidiary of CEF, which reports, as you know, to the Minister of Minerals and Energy. There are currently incorporated divisions, such as the Energy Development Corporation, that invests in commercial energy efficiency and renewable energy projects, the National Energy Efficiency Agency, which is there to promote and implement energy efficiency, and then, of course, we are a wholly owned subsidiary at the moment, along with the likes of PetroSA and PASA in particular. Now, if you look at our role, once we have plans that are in the form of implementation strategies and these are developed by the state, what will happen is that in some cases there are R&D activities, and these are undertaken then by Cenery in the context of energy R&D. It is done in the form of either bursary support to universities or contract R&D or through the establishment of R&D chairs at those universities, or it can be done through contract R&D to the private sector or the SOEs in the case of where there are commercial activities involved. Across all of these spheres, there is human capital development supporting government, the private sector, state-owned enterprises, and the universities in developing R&D capacity. So you can see that the Navy's role extends across the entire energy sector. Now, if you look at our objectives, I mean, one of our key objectives is to ensure that we affect a transformation in the demographic profile of our researchers in the country, to ensure that we get younger researchers, we get researchers from historically disadvantaged backgrounds into the program. We also need to start stimulating the culture of energy R&D in the country, because at the end of the day, what's happening in the country is that we have pockets of excellence around the country. We've had several successes. We've had solar successes with Solar Johanna at the University of Johannesburg, but we haven't had a concerted campaign around developing innovation and developing enough capacity to support it. We have specific high-profile, high-value flagship projects that are underway, which if we had more time, I could tell you about, and it will certainly be groundbreaking in the context of providing alternative energy and providing for energy security. Very importantly is this integrated information and knowledge management system. How do we ring-fence all the information that's been developed so far on an R&D basis and put that into one system that is accessible by the entire country so that people can plan better, people can actually understand what are the research priorities that they can go and do their postgraduate studies on. All that information needs to be captured somewhere. And then, of course, to assist South Africa in coordinating its participation in various bodies. Now, the question was asked earlier, is Cenery only involved in renewable energy? And here's the short answer, no. These are the areas that Cenery is currently involved in. It's infrastructure optimization. This cuts across electricity networks, liquid fuel transportation, as well as in the case of road and rail transportation. If you look at energy efficiency and DSM, it cuts across all sectors of energy efficiency. It does include renewable energy, but also includes alternative energy in terms of the hydrogen economy and fuel cell development. It looks at cleaner fossil fuels, which includes clean coal technology, carbon capture and storage, as well as natural gas applications in the country. It looks at the impact of energy use in the environment, and this talks to climate change mitigation and supports the goals of the country with respect to adaptation and mitigation. It also looks at socioeconomic upliftment, and this talks more about creating opportunities within low-income sectors, both rural and peri-urban, to help people to actually benefit from the energy that they've been given to create micro-industries and small business opportunities. Human capital development is supported across all of these sectors through various programs that we've introduced, and also we support the department in terms of their own needs. So where the Department of Minerals and Energy, for instance, has to do planning and policy development, where there's a requirement for data, where there's a requirement for human capital, Cenery can support those initiatives. So this is just a snapshot of key deliverables to help you identify what Cenery is involved in. Currently developing a revised wind atlas for South Africa to show us where we can build future wind farms. Development of a wave energy test facility off the Cape West Coast. Testing and developing of second generation biofuel crops that don't involve the debate around food versus fuel. Because that's the important thing that's limiting biofuels at the moment. On the advanced fossil fuel side, it's actually investigating and optimizing liquid fuels, different liquid fuels that we could be using in mainstream applications, developing this carbon storage atlas, which involves a number of entities, Eskom, Anglo, Sasol, and PetroSA, to find geological sites where we can actually store CO2 underground, and then looking at clean coal technology that would be relevant for South African coals, that where the grade of coal has actually deteriorated over time. And then energy policy and planning, looking at developing a possible center at UCT with the intention of supporting energy system analysis, and it talks to the need to support government's goals. And there you could see some link to the modeling agency which is proposed by the DME, in that this center could assist in developing human capital to support that goal. Further on, if you look at end-use infrastructure, we're trying to develop at this stage integrated mass transit scheme for South African cities, so that we can put in place mass transit schemes, but where the focus is very heavily on energy conservation and environmental benefit. Also, a low-cost and efficient electric motor has been developed already, and South Africa will now see its first electric vehicle next year. It will be launched next year. And then, of course, there are a number of other projects on green transportation that will see us modify and implement vehicles to be run on alternative fuels. Now, in terms of Seneti, and these are some of the positive elements that we feel contribute to the motivation for why Seneti needs to be established. Firstly, it ring-fences major clean energy and energy efficiency measures under a single entity. And that's very important because internationally, the trend is for energy efficiency agencies in particular to be linked to their R&D wing as well. Because at the end of the day, product development is taking place at such a rapid rate that the implementing agency can't keep up. Last year, we were talking about a big CFL rollout program for efficient lighting. This year, we're talking about an LED lighting rollout program, which has now surpassed CFLs in terms of efficiency and cost. It also helps us to assist in developing a coordinated strategy, which is in support of our long-term climate change mitigation activities as per LTMS. It promotes and protects research capacity in the country, and it supports the long-term funding of research activity, which is also key. If you look at the amount of funding that's gone into PVMR, I think it's expected now that we put a similar level of funding into developing alternatives to this as well. And then, of course, the bill promotes long-term security of supply by identifying those alternatives that can one day be commercially deployed. Now, the aspect worth considering, and this is important to note, that in the development of this bill, there are some concerns, and these concerns relate to issues such as the funding for the institute during this transitional period. We know that long-term funding will be secured through the fiscus in the form of a monies bill, but this may take several years to promulgate. And so the question is, how is this institute going to be funded in this period? Also, the responsibilities of various divisions are too prescriptive. One has to allow for some flexibility in this changing political, environmental, and economic climate. That much is clear. There's been lots of discussion during the course of the day about whether it should have been in CEF or not, but I think the one benefit that it has had in terms of locating the entity under CEF is that we've been able to minimize our overheads. In other words, if you put a new entity in place tomorrow, you have to put in place all the corporate services, the legal, the financial, the HR, the company secretariat, and everything to support that new entity, including the new location as well. And so, of course, if you do that, it will result in greater overheads and, of course, will hamper the entity's viability in the future. In addition to that, one has to then look at the remuneration issues. Now, this is very important where you have scarce skills. Now, R&D, by nature, involves scarce skills. There's no question about that. So what you have to ensure in a new institute like that is that you have parity in the remuneration with similar institutions that are involved in that type of sector. And here, for comparison, you could look at CSR, Mintec, the Agricultural Research Council, or the Medical Research Council. In Seneti, for instance, we have 5 PhD senior managers, of which 4 of them are HDI individuals. Now, that is very difficult to find, particularly with the amount of experience that they have. And I can guarantee you that they will be poached within the next year if we are not able to offer them market-related salaries. So this is difficult to do in a climate where there's pressure on local and international markets, and, of course, the international market snaps up these skills far more rapidly than we can replace them. There's also this growing problem that people are moving from the civil service as well as from academia into the SOEs as well as the private sector simply because of far more attractive remuneration benefits. Also, one important aspect is that we don't want such an institute to be dependent upon the state forever. It is not fair to the state. I mean, we've seen in certain examples where we keep bailing out entities like SAA or Nexa. The question is, how much does government really want to keep bailing out these entities? And so we feel that grant funding and the commercial exploitation of intellectual property rights should be encouraged by Parliament, because at the end of the day, it will help us to then, of course, course, reduce that burden to the state. Now, some institutions have only survived in the past because of the income that they get from intellectual property rights exploitation. So we've seen that this is a valuable contributor to sustainability. And we believe that also the additional income that you do get in will allow us to be able to offer remuneration at comparable levels to other research institutions in the country. Now, very briefly, Chair, to end off with, the positive elements around the modeling agency would include it provides for enhanced indigenous modeling and planning capacity. And this is very important because we don't have enough planning capacity in the country at this stage. We've seen that there's various pockets of excellence. There's various plans which are produced annually or biannually or whatever the case might be, but they certainly are not consolidated enough. We need more rigorous data collection methodologies to be put in place, and this agency would be able to support that. It will also allow us, as we've spoken about previously, to coordinate the efforts of NERSA, DME, and ESCOM with regards to the different plans that they produce. And also, we'll be able to give out a clear signal to the market in terms of investment opportunities by virtue of the clear planning framework that is produced. And, of course, can provide government with the necessary support in terms of analyzing the impact that policy and measures will have in the future. Aspects to consider, and these need to be looked at, is we do need peer review of methodology. Now, the plans that have been produced by ICEP in terms of ESCOM, NIRP for NERSA, who has done the peer review on it? Who's determined whether that methodology is sound? And here we need a sounding board. And I think the important aspect is who's going to be that sounding board for this, and I think that has to be addressed. We do recognize as well that there will be extensive time that will be required to put in place the data sets. You need robust data over a period of time, as well as the human capital to be able to interpret the results that you get out of these models, and this could potentially delay further IEP activity. So this is something that I think the department needs to put a lot of effort into to be able to ensure that once the agency is established, that it hits the ground running. Also, we shouldn't be too inflexible in terms of the choice of planning tools. I think it's about horses for courses rather than one size fits all, and I think the agency should be tasked as well with the role of helping to develop products that are South African. I know there's an effort to get an international planning tool into the country. We should also take the opportunity to look at what are the local opportunities and get the agency to spend an amount of time on that. Lastly, we need a close working relationship with the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism on their efforts to position South Africa from a long-term mitigation point of view, and this agency, of course, has a very strong role to play in supporting that particular activity as well. So on that note, Chair, I'd like to thank you for your time. I just wanted to leave you with the first solar traffic light installation that was done in the country last year in Cape Town. This was the pilot project, which was done by Sunery and the Energy Efficiency Agency as a partnership, and actually has a small wind turbine to back it up. So we're now seeing the larger scale rollout program, which will be taking place this year. I think that's a very good start, I think, to the work of Sunery. Thank you, Chair.
Your project will be now be done as Sunery, isn't it? So, but on the same way, we are not going to the department as a clear conception of what is entailed in the bill, because in the bill there are transitional provisions, which provisions create time and opportunity to move towards the media and the like, but some of the issues you raise are the issues we as a committee and the department can apply our mind to. Any questions on the presentation? Chris, are you okay? I don't want the chairperson to and Smith to dominate this kind of Danny, when you came late, you were so flexible. Now you are tired. What's the problem, Chief? Yes. So I'll start with Honorable Kekani, Smith, and the chairperson. Then it's fine. At 4 o'clock exactly, we should be finished, because the last presentation should take 30 to 40 minutes. Mr. Kekani?
I just want to hear what you say, because you know this country is as you know, is faced with this problem of energy. And I think our research institution must be more vigorous. I mean, if you consider alternative energy sources, we've heard about the wave generating sources from the sea and so on and so. People are saying, we are such a long coastal area, why don't we use waves? Because other countries are using those. And the solar system, I mean, this came from the University of Rau, a professor that there was doing solar system. I'm just saying we're getting information of very important sources of energy from other sources rather than our research institution. And as a result, to be honest, without, I don't want to say bad news, but I mean, I really don't think you are up to the mark, because to be honest, we're facing a problem and things are happening. We hear them from other people rather than from our research. I thought the research institution will do a global investigation and say, look, this is what is happening in other countries, and this is what you think is appropriate for our country. But we hear things from other people. Like I'm saying, solar system was pushed by University of Rau, Johannesburg Rau currently. And this wave thing is coming from Sweden or Norway. So the chair told us that. And there you are our research institution. Why don't you know about these things and tell us up front so that, you know, you serve your purpose?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We during the course of today, we've heard of research, energy efficiency, integrated energy planning, modeling and info, and then that under the one grouping, and then Saneri under the other kind of institution. But what I do lack is the word planning. I do see that under Saneri it says it must determine the policies and procedures. The board might do that. But I'm failing the word planning. Is that the function of the Department of Minerals and Energy, or should there be an additional function awarded to either Saneri or the other institution, agency? Your view on that would be appreciated.
Yeah. Thank you, Chairperson. I've got some very, very important questions here, but I just want to start here first. As far as I understand, the Xaneri started as a concept of Neri. And now I just want to explain to the committee why it was Neri and why it became changed to Xaneri. That's the first question. The second question, you have said that, before that again. Now, Saneri or Neri, they also started as some entity that was supposed to be, it was established to be under CSIR, as I said, by the Department of Science and Technology, if I'm not mistaken, but I have facts from people whom we've discussed with. But it was since moved to CEF because the then Minister of Minerals and Energy was also acting as a Minister of Science and Technology. These are the facts that I want you to verify. And under CEF, as we have shown the organogram, CEF was more like to serve as a kind of enterprises under the umbrella of CEF belonging to Minerals and Energy. Now, I want to understand, when did CEF, or when was it aligned as a research entity? As you have said, that there's been a lot of research that has happened in CEF, and you've mentioned Sasol and others as comms. I do not remember since 2002, when, because I've been in this committee since 2002, and I've been coming, given CEF, we've asked some of these questions, and I don't remember them saying that they are research, they are doing any research. In fact, there was a time when there was even a problem of companies that were working at a loss under CEF, which were established to be commercial companies. So, hence, this scenario under CEF was a problem. It was questioned why it was under CEF. Thirdly, you have said that part of the success story of the scenario, and in fact, a number of you have said that projects like PBMR, they have been the success story of what Saneri has done, including the robots, as you are showing them, the traffic lights here. But PBMR has not been a successful story. I can tell you, I happen to know in detail, because I was in PBMR, I know it was never, and in fact, this weekend, if I'm not sure, if I'm not mistaken, they have even now in Germany, the people who are supposed to be really doing this. Actually, when I came in 1999 from England, PBMR was saying that they were going to be making the reactor critical in year 2000. And because I was coming from that research, I said, no, it can't happen. And it has never happened until today. It has never been critical. In fact, now, as I'm so taking, PBMR is being dissolved into a new company. The people are being transferred to this new Nexar joint venture. So I don't think it has been a successful story as people want to portray. And the statement that comes from Ulick this past weekend seems to suggest that it has not, because they say it has failed. And they were the main consultants of PBMR. I just want you to clarify this committee, because these are things that are very important for this committee, and I'm the chair, and I would not like this committee to be misled. Yes.
Yeah. Those things will be clarified as I am the acting chair.
Thank you, through the two chairs. if I could just comment firstly on the question around what do we know about in the context of technologies that are out there. I think bear in mind, of course, that Saneri has been around for 2 years. In that time, we've done things, of course, but obviously there's been a lot of activity before that, including the development of the thin film solar work at the University of Johannesburg under Prof. Vivian Albert. That technology was, in fact, sold in part to a German consortium by virtue of a company in South Africa called PTIP. CEF as a company has a 3% stake in that entity at the moment, and of course the first plant is being built in Germany, the second plant will be built in South Africa, and of course the idea that we as Saneri are in the process of finding applications for thin film solar, which includes on the traffic lights as well, which we will do outside the University of Johannesburg to showcase it. So there are a number of activities, including electric vehicle usage for charging batteries, solar water pumping applications, building integrated PV that will be looked at for this particular technology. We as Saneri have developed a new technique at Nelson Mandela Metro University to produce the right grade of silicon, which can be used in conventional silicon-based photovoltaic panels. Now, this puts us in a different league. There are only a few companies internationally that can produce the right grade of silicon, which is 99.999959 pure grade of silicon. That is being done, and we're in a position to show that at the moment it will allow us to produce, even at a small scale, the right grade of silicon where there's an ever-growing demand internationally. On the wave front, I said in the presentation that we would develop a wave energy test facility off the Cape West Coast, simply because there are so many technologies out there. You've mentioned one or two from Scandinavian countries, but there are British technologies, there are French technologies, there are American technologies. And the question is, which ones work under our conditions? We don't know exactly. Stellenbosch itself has got its own Stellenbosch wave energy converter. Now, the idea is that we will demonstrate them off our shores and see exactly how effective they will be before before we can actually recommend to the state which type of technology should be supported. And that is an activity that I think SANEDI would be very involved in advising government that, look, these technologies do work. There are a lot of other activities, Chair, that I could go through, but SANEDI's brief at this stage is very particular. With the level of funding that we have, which is 45 million rands per year, we have very set activities that we can do with that kind of money. Product development on the scale that we've seen for other kinds of technologies would simply not be possible with the limits of funding that we have. The question of planning was raised earlier as well, and the issue is, how is that planning done? Where does it come from? In the case of SANEDI at present, the board assists in developing the strategy. That then goes to the Departments of Minerals and Energy and Science and Technology in the form of a shareholder compact, which is then approved annually by the two ministers. And that perhaps shouldn't change too much in SANEDI, where I think there's a lot of consultation built in with the Minister of Science and Technology. As a company, SANEDI sets up a strategic planning session involving stakeholders from government, private sector, and academia, which then helps shape that research agenda, which is then largely approved by government at the end of the day. The question about NERI and why it became SANEDI, for one reason only, the name NERI was already taken, so we ended up with SANEDI. And in fact, the name is registered to the New Zealand Energy Research Institute, which is called NERI, and hence we had to localize it and call it SANEDI for no other reason. Also, it was never intended to be under the CSIR. In fact, a team was put together under the auspices of Cabinet that involved public enterprises, education, science and technology, and the DME in particular. And the intention of that committee was to develop a model of where this entity should be located. And they looked at three areas. They looked at the CSIR, they looked at ESCOM, and they looked at CEF. And they had presentations from all three entities. And ESCOM, they felt, would be too closely aligned to the existing ESCOM work and would be very electricity-focused. They felt that CSIR didn't have enough indigenous energy R&D capacity to support it, which is still the case. And then, of course, there was the CEF Act, lastly, which made provision. And this was another question about CEF and its success stories. CEF has a mandate by law to do R&D. The fact that it may not do a lot of R&D is another story altogether. It has been more focused on government's objectives of commercializing companies along the way. But there have been success stories. I mentioned Enercom. Enercom has been wound down, but Enercom had products that were developed by CEF and were utilized by the company. Gas to liquid technology under PetroSA is another example of where innovation has come out of the company without it being specifically an R&D company. So what I'm saying is that the intention may not be to put it into a company which is very strong on R&D, but to put it into a company which has a mandate to do R&D. And I think that is where it ended up inside CEF at that point in time. And I fully agree with you on your PBMR views. A lot of money has been put into PBMR, and I think the question is, at which stage does government decide where to put PBMR and to take it forward? By the way, SANEDI's brief excludes nuclear. The reason for that is because we have NEXA and PBMR already, and the state doesn't need to put more money into nuclear energy into another entity. It just creates confusion.
Yes, I think you've said it mouthful, and I'm sure I could see the chairperson nodding his head. That is agreeable to those the views expressed here. But there is a new a bill here which give us a new scenario in terms of direction. And those issues will have an opportunity of engaging and making sure that we renew and make sure that there's a new mandate. It means the department, in accordance with this bill, it doesn't disband anything. It just changes the name. So it's just a matter of adjusting to new conditions which are part of the national energy bill. Smith, I want to just get up with you and close it.
Just hold a second, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
You mentioned something right at the end about it does not include nuclear. Now, that creates a problem, doesn't it? Because I thought it was an overall structure to do overall planning. Now, suddenly you take away one very important component. It complicates the issue to me, quite honestly, without going into detail.
Thank you, Chair. Through you, it does complicate matters, but when SANEDI was established, it was designed so that we wouldn't have confusion, because ultimately DME, I think, has to play the lead in that role and decide where it wants the nuclear strategy to go. And, of course, it has a master plan around nuclear energy, and I think we would fit into that if necessary as Seneri, let's put it that way. But Seneri was given that specific instruction not to participate in that area.
Did you understand me well, Jay? that I don't want to compound the problem. I'm sure that our democracy it's a new democracy. It's only 14 years old, and all the attempts, you know, to be creative, to be innovative, to do this and that, are good attempts. And I'm sure that those attempts and not innovations are moving towards a direction, which is going to take our country somewhere. And I know that obviously nuclear issues are very strategic. It's better for them to reside within the department than to reside everywhere and elsewhere. So I'm sure that you understand the manner in which, the way in which problems are actually compounding, the complexity of problems. So you want to clarify this piece, only this piece. Okay. Well, we respect you because you are a nuclear scientist, so you can clarify it.
Yeah, I think we are correct. What you said, very, very correct. And what he has said, very, very correct. I'm just clarifying, Mr. Schmidt. You see, in any country that a new, where a nuclear power program is developed, there are two important institutions that have got to accompany a nuclear program, which is the Nuclear Research Institute and the institute or institution that is about the peaceful use of that nuclear power technology. Now, we have NEXA, which is dedicated to nuclear research, and that is why they did not want to confuse that role, because it's a very developed institute since 1948. So, we wouldn't bring in that. So that is exactly the reason why, which is why I agree with both of them, and it's better residing there. My only problem is that now there are departments like public interest lights, of course, they've got that role, but there are research institutes, nuclear research projects that are supposed to be residing there next, and they are not residing there. That's my problem.
Yeah, well, that's information. And that was good information. So I just want to thank you, sir, that you managed to, through the secretary, be smuggled in the program. But that was very constructive, and that was very progressive, and we want to thank you. Without much ado, can we have Petro South Africa? Petro?
Yes, we do. Are
you ready from where you are?
I am indeed. I'm looking to have a presentation, so I have a submission in writing that you submitted to the DME, and if you don't mind, Chair, I would like to read it to you and to the committee.
The same we have in our...
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No problem. You can proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you who don't know who Petro SA is, we are the national oil company. And basically we do and manage much of the government's commercial assets in terms of the liquid fuels environment. Our presentation is really going to be, Mr. Chairman, divided into sort of a general comment and also a more specific comment, and it's going to be much more technical legal as opposed to commercial or operational. And the reason for that is that we are also a member of SOFIA. And as a leading member of SOFIA, we have made quite a few commercial...
Sorry, can you kindly introduce yourself?
Oh, sorry, I didn't say who I am. My name is...
And your team, please.
Absolutely. I'm a sole player, Mr. Chairman. And I'm the general counsel of Petro SA, so I'm the striker of Petro SA. I apologize for that. As I indicated, Mr. Chairman, we are going to talk more about the technical legal arguments of the specific areas of the bill, coupled with some general comments, as the more commercial operational aspects have been dealt with in terms of our submission with SOFIA. Just in, as a matter of introduction, in terms of the general comment, indeed, as the national economy, we do welcome the National Energy Bill. And while we acknowledge national interest and strategic importance of the objects, the object of the Act, or sorry, the Bill, and the detailed provisions of the Bill, there are a few concerns with respect to legal and government issues that we need to really relate and also follow up. In particular, the extent of possible duplication between provisions of the Bill and certain empowering provisions which grant extensive regulation making and other powers to the Minister of Minerals and Energy, as well as the provisions, Mr. Chairman, of other legislation, the mandate of other departments, in particular, as we heard before, the whole interrelationship between the Department of Environmental Affairs and Tourism, CEF, SFF, and of course NERSA as well. And for us, we believe there's quite a large degree of duplication which we need to address in terms of a redrafting of a potential act. Chapter 6 in particular of the bill seeks to establish a national liquid fuel strategic such capability. In particular, Section 33, subsection 1 of the bill provides that the minister may establish through a directive served by ONCEF a capability to ensure the monitoring, directing, and overseeing of the national liquid fuel strategic reserve stocks within SEF. As this committee might know, Mr. Chairman, SFF was established in terms of the SEF Act, and its primary aim is to manage and to basically guide South Africa's strategic inventory of crude oil on behalf of the state. This is currently a function that has been performed by, in particular, PetroSA since 2003. And that begs the question in terms of strategic stocks, who's going to be responsible for it and who not. And I'll come back to that because, as you might know, if you read the definition section of the bill, energy is not defined. I find it quite astonishing that you don't define energy yet, but an energy, national energy bill. What do you mean by energy? And we'll allude to that in more detail later on. Furthermore, the establishment of the National Liquid Fuel Strategic Reserve Stocks capability, as contemplated by Chapter 6, as I said earlier, raises a number of concerns which we seek to be clarified, which amongst others includes the overlap between the mandate of this capability and the mandate, as I indicated before, of SFF. The functions of SFF are not only limited to managing crude oil, but also extends to include fuels, as is seen in the aforementioned alluded objects. Secondly, in 1998-99, the department issued a directive for the dissolution of SFF. However, this was considered not to be an option due to, amongst other things, environmental liabilities, I would imagine, incurred by SFF. Now, this is very, very important, because I don't believe, and we at PetroSA, we don't believe, that we can look at a national energy bill in the absence of understanding the importance of the strategic value of the government strategic stocks vis-a-vis crude. It is common knowledge that SFF is, for all intents and purposes, not functional anymore. Therefore, a clear decision needs to be made with regard to where strategic stocks will be held on behalf of the government, and even if not expressly stated in the bill, we need to obviously determine the role of an important managing entity and who's going to be responsible for that. The bill states that one of its purposes, the appropriate upkeep and equitable access to energy infrastructure. We believe that NERSA was created to fulfill this role insofar as it relates to petroleum pipelines, storage and loading facilities in terms of the Pipelines Act and gas infrastructure in terms of the Gas Act. There may be an overlap between the functions of the Institute, and I think we've discussed it ad nausea today. We have our own views with respect to where research should be done with respect to the Research Institute. I always, and this is my personal view, I found that when you look at things like, for example, low temperature fissure stops, which we are the world leader, and our development with companies like Lurgy, Statoil, etc., we find that it's better to develop it in-house as opposed to develop it outside. We also find it more better for us to basically test the operational efficiency and workability of those kind of technologies. Be that as it may, there may also be, as I said, the overlap between the Institute and those of NERSA in terms of the National Energy Regulator Act, that NERSA and the Institute are both tasked with promoting the optimal use of available gas and electricity infrastructure. Even if it is just in terms of research, it begs the question. The Act provides that NERSA may guidelines and publish codes of conduct and practice, while in the bill, the Minister may prescribe minimum standards and targets. This duplication should be review that the Hazardous Substances Act, which is administered by the Department of Health, sufficiently provides for the handling of certain hazardous substances in the context of health, safety, and environment. So what we're saying is, effectively, we have legislation that deal adequately with those things. Why do we need to reinvent the wheel? There's also potential overlap as far as we are concerned in terms of Section 4, Subsection 2, insofar as it purports to regulate or prescribe standards and specifications for low smoke fuels and the prohibition of sale and combustion of polluting fuels in specified areas. This appears to overlap with the role of OPSCA, the Oil Pollution Control Agency of South Africa, and the Atmospheric Pollution Prevention Act, which is administered by DAT. And for us, again, we need to make sure that we have clarity. Again, how the specific requirements is the specific legislation which can deal with it more adequately than a general act or bill as NER. Coming to a more detailed specific comment, as I indicated earlier, Mr. Chairman, the term energy needs to be defined for the purposes of this bill. Or an alternative is to be specifically draw parameters in the definition of the term energy carrier so that the scope is clear on whether it includes petroleum products, crude oil, gas, coal, electricity, etc. If that is what is intended to be covered in this bill, I don't know if you want to cover crude oil, because it doesn't say that to us. It's also important to distinguish between energy carrier and energy resources, which term is used very sort of liberally in the bill, but it's not really properly defined. Energy master plan. This energy master plan is yet to be developed by the minister, so this should be clearly stated. As currently defined, it is as if it is in existence, thus approved by cabinet and gazetted by the Minister of Minerals and Energy. It might be a fair point, but it's a very important point. The term energy data implies that it is privately held information, not state-owned or held information. Yet the term data is used regularly in the bill. What is the term intended to cover? If it is something different from energy data, and again, we need to make sure there are those interrelatedness in terms of the definitions. Why is energy data limited to private information, if it is in fact, our interpretation is correct? What is energy data and information as opposed to mere energy data? I know it's technical, but again, the purpose of the bill is to give us clarification and to make sure that we know exactly what we are expected to do as potential users of this particular bill and act eventually. Finally, in terms of definitions, the term energy security is very widely stated. Also, it is not used consistently in the bill. What is the difference between energy security, I ask, or we ask, and security of supply? And we've heard security of supply being branded about as a very important buzzword in our greater scheme of, in particular, the energy and the petroleum sector. The language used in this bill needs to be consistent with the use of the Energy Security Master Plan for liquid fuels and the Energy Security Master Plan for electricity. I think that's very, very important, because ultimately we are looking at an umbrella piece of legislation that clearly purports to guide us in terms of both energy as opposed to electricity and in terms of fuels, liquid fuels. 1 second, please, Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind. I did indicate I'm a sole player, unfortunately. Going down to the objects of the act, of the bill, sorry. The objects of the bill are incredibly widely stated and arguably not capable of being met through the bill as currently formulated. That's our view. The objects clause should be reviewed and narrowed down so as to reflect a realistic set of goals or objectives that is matched by the powers allocated under the bill to the relevant organs of state and does not exceed the ambit of the bill. As indicated above, some of these objects are already covered by other legislation, and I don't want to flog a dead horse, but we still believe that those can be more adequately dealt with in terms of those specific pieces of legislation. It is not clear why it is necessary to have standards and specifications for processes used for consuming energy, and it is questionable how these standards should be enforced if geared at the consumer. Is this intended to make provision for rationing of energy to the consumer? Any standards that are introduced to give effect to this clause should not be too prescriptive, as it may limit innovation and technology improvement in respect of equipment systems and processes for the producing and supplying of energy in particular. Section 2L is repeating what is provided in, oh sorry, I think it's LLI, is repeating what is provided in section 2H, we believe. So we believe that's a duplication under the objects. Chapter 2. In terms of chapter 2, we refer to particular section 3, subsection 1 of the bill, which obligates the minister to prescribe regulations for the mandatory provision of any data and information reasonably required for the purposes of modeling.
Are you summarizing because you've gone beyond 10 minutes? Way beyond, beyond
but,
10 minutes.
But, Mr. Chairman, I think I had 45 minutes.
I've explained the process that your presentation gets limited to 10.
Okay.
Then there will be questioning by Parliament, and from there, the rest of the time will...
Okay. Can I have 5 more minutes, Mr. Chairman, if I may? Or 2 more, just to summarize then. I apologize.
2 minutes.
Yeah. In the run of our submission, we also deal with things, Mr. Chairman, in terms of Chapter 2. We deal with aspects with regards to safety, health, and environment. We talk about energy access by households, the energy-related international obligations, and how we believe Chapter 6 needs to be revisited. We talk about the whole issue around Chapters 3 and 4 in terms of the National Energy Modeling and Information Agency. And obviously, we discussed already, and the previous speakers have made quite a lot of mention about the SANEDI issue, so I don't think I need to repeat that, because much of what we are saying are similar in mold and design. And then, what's for us is also very important is obviously of energy infrastructure, Mr. Chairman. And then again, there's just a chapter for us in terms of general provisions where we just specifically give recommendations in terms of various sections within the Act. But by and large, what we are saying is ultimately, we are saying the National Energy Bill needs to deal and define what is meant by energy, what the role players are supposed to do with respect to energy, in particular the various facets of the energy sector, whether it is liquid fuels, hydrocarbons, per se, whether it is in terms of electricity or other energy-generating mechanisms and means. And we believe that there are certain duplications within the bill that can be addressed in terms of the redrafting, in particular with regard to the specific sections and chapters that I've mentioned before. So without further ado, Mr. Chairman, thank you for your indulgence. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate it. That's a bit
rare thing. Thank you very much. I was of the impression that you were around earlier on.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Because some of the issues you are raising are the issues we alluded to, especially issues around drafting. We do have the state law advisor here, which is us who will respond. I'm sure that your presentation is here, such that when we make a determination, we can take those issues under consideration. Then the issues around duplication, I'm sure that they were raised earlier on. The issue around what is crude oil in terms of definition and the like. They will give us an advice if it's not understood, then we can include it. Even the whole issue around energy. There was a presentation which was made yesterday by the department, and the department did allude to the fact that the legislation, the National Energy Bill, will interface with all other legislation. Specifically the Electricity Regulation Act, the Gas Act, the Petroleum Products Act. So all of them are around here, but they fit into this main legislation. So the whole issue of duplication, if it's there, it will be centered somewhere around this bill, such that everything should be synchronized and harmonized well. But I want to give an opportunity to two or three members to add or ask questions so as we can round up, because this is the last presentation for the day.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you look at clause 33, I take it with what you said, and you know, maybe some of your concerns addressed from what I'm about to say. But it says 33.1, the minister may establish a capability to ensure the monitoring, directing, and overseeing of the national. It seems to be very wide. A capability can refer to an institution, oversight mechanism, a policy, a whatever directive. It's not clear what the minister. I'm not sure whether you have any comments on that. Is that what some of your comments at least are addressed to? Because I'm not sure what the capability there refers to. Normally it ensures an ability to do something. Just your comments on that one issue.
So I respond to that now?
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Thank you, Chairman. Sorry, Chairperson. I need to ask if you will accept my questioning because I'm not normally a member of this committee, but I'm representing the IFP. Can I go ahead? Thank you very much. I'm just interested in the point that you made about standards. You do not want tight standards. But whether it's in relation to liquid fuels or all other fuels and products produced under the Energy Bill, isn't that the only way that the minister will be able to tighten up on polluting products, for example, and also have cleaner coal, which is part of the agenda? So I also don't quite understand what you're saying there. Perhaps you can clarify. And the other thing is you said there's overlap. The Department of Health, for example, looks into hazardous products. But I've just come from a discussion amongst health people introducing a new bill and saying that there is actually not an area that is clearly responsible for hazardous substances, and that the certification, the CE certification that comes onto a lot of energy products, actually means nothing. Because who watches it? Which department? Who funds which department? Which people actually look for it? Is it the environment? You know. So if anybody can give answers on that, it would be useful to hear them. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Honourable Smith, to answer the question is this way. We do not propose to say that the minister doesn't have the prerogative to basically appoint the capability, but exactly that's the point, and you mentioned it, and you've given me also yourself the answer. What is the capability? We don't need a capability. We need an entity. We need a structure. We need a responsible entity that will, in fact, deal with that very important issue of strategic crude and strategic stocks of the government. And we are saying at PetroSA, at the moment, SFF effectively has an agency agreement with PetroSA that deals with all of, if not most of SFF's responsibilities. So it would be much more prudent for us to identify the entity that should ultimately take the responsibility, whether it is PetroSA or not, that's irrelevant, but so that we, as all industry players, liquid fuels industry players rather, have a clear understanding as to how that is going to be regulated. The other important thing, just follow on from that, is that there are purported provisions that would require that a certain huge percentage, 30% is what's mooted, of, for example, crude stocks or supplies, be basically imported or managed by either a government-owned institution or an institution of a similar nature, which again begs the issue, will that be strategic stocks, and who's going to basically manage it on behalf of government? So for us at PetroSA, and also as a member of the liquid fuels industry, we deem it very, very important because, as you know, crude is a very important mechanism in terms of import parity and also the BSB with regard to fuel, the basic sort of fuel price, BFP. So that part is very, very important. So hopefully that answers your question. That's where your concerns stem from. If I may, Mr. Chairman, just address the lady's question. Sorry. Dr. Rabinowitz, my presentation did not, with respect, allude to the fact that we don't want standards. Not at all. In fact, we support the fact that we want standards. We are just saying that, for example, we need to understand where they are going to come from, and in particular, there are pieces of legislation that does regulate hazardous substances. We don't believe that NER is a piece of legislation that should deal with that. Unfortunately, the Hazardous Substances Act is very clear. The fact that there is no enforcement or implementation, unfortunately, doesn't mean to say that the Act is weak or is not sufficiently cogent to be able to protect us. It might mean that there, from an enforceability point of view, Dr. Rabinowitz, there might be a problem. But again, I don't believe you should saddle a very important piece of legislation like the umbrella legislation for energy with issues around hazardous substances, where we clearly have sufficient provisions, in fact, detailed provisions in the Hazardous Substances Act to deal with those kinds of situations. And that's what we are, Petrese, is saying. We're saying there's a piece of legislation for each and every specific detailed circumstance other than the National Energy Bill. Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah. I think we are doing well. We've done well. We will continue tomorrow. We were scheduled to end at 16:30. It's only past 4 to 5 minutes. So that is. I think if this a committee is serious, it has to applaud me for doing a good job. Because at some point we are going to finish at 5:30 instead of 4:30. So now we are actually going to have 8:02. We have a program which starts at 9 tomorrow. And we are going to have almost the venue, I think it's the old assembly, V454. Yeah, so it's V454. It's not the, yeah, it's up there, upstairs. So I'm sure that if we behave ourselves well